In advance of the 224th meeting of the American Astronomical Society in Boston, Massachusetts, on June 1st through 5th, 2014, we were interviewed by Guido Meyer for the Bavarian public radio program IQ, which is kind of like a German version of NPR. The three of us interviewed included myself, Dr. Andrew Friedman from MIT, Professor David Kaiser, also from MIT, and Dr. Jason Glicchio from the University of Chicago. The interview discussed our proposed experiment to test aspects of quantum mechanics with the help of astronomical observations, and specifically how our experiment could conceivably test for the existence of the multiverse, and how science can test the idea of other universes in general. I presented a talk on this topic on June 4th, 2014, at the AAS meeting in a new special session entitled Multiverse Observation in Theory, which was one of the first of its kind in the history of the AAS. The interview itself was pre-recorded and later edited into a shorter version, which was displayed all in German, with the questions reframed and our edited responses also voiced over in German. This was aired on June 2nd, 2014. To make the interview more accessible to any interested listeners in the U.S., Mr. Meyer kindly provided us with the original English audio of our answers. But since his original questions, also in English, were not recorded, we later reconstructed them as best we could based on our answers, and my brother Barry Friedman kindly helped us do a voiceover of our reconstructed questions in English. The version that follows was then cut together with our answers essentially unedited. Please enjoy the discussion of Do We Live in a Multiverse?
So do people in physics and astronomy actually believe that the multiverse is real, or is there still a lot of controversy surrounding it? In other words, is there definitive proof that the multiverse exists?
So I think that it's an open question. We're very much hoping it, for people who believe that the theoretical ideas that lead us to believe that a multiverse is possible, it would be very nice if there were actual experimental tests that one could do to verify this picture. And I think that, right now there do not exist any definitive experimental tests that would convince the entire community in the multiverse picture. So, in fact, the as far as I know, this AAS panel, Multiverse Observation in Theory, is the first time that the AAS has ever had such a panel. So it gives you an idea that the state of the field is very new, and people are starting to think about ways in which, you know, testing these ideas might be possible. And the thing that's really interesting is that, naively, one might think that it would be very, very hard or maybe even impossible in principle to test the idea of other universes. But I actually view this as a challenge and an opportunity to try to think of how we can come up with clever ways to go beyond what might seem to be possible.
So how does one test to see that the multiverse exists? It seems like something like that would be really, really difficult to test for. Do you really think that it can be tested?
I think the answer is yes, because there's a lot of really good indirect evidence that leads us to believe that the entire multiverse, which is, I'll define it as all of the stuff that there is in existence, is definitely much bigger than the part that we can see, much bigger than the part that we can access. Light has had only a finite amount of time to travel to us since the Big Bang, about 14 billion years ago, and the first question, when talking about the multiverse, is does there exist anything beyond that? And we have a lot of reason to believe that the answer is yes. And I don't think that we have definitive proof that the answer is yes, but we have strong reasons to believe. And it would be very strange if it turned out that the part that we can see is all there is. So if you agree that there are galaxies and matter existing outside of the part that we can see, then you already believe in sort of the first level of the multiverse. And I think that most people in the cosmology community would at least say that they believe that is consistent with everything we know. And that is probably not controversial. There are other levels of the multiverse that are much more controversial and much harder to think about how to test. But at least at that level, I think that we have really strong indirect evidence that the universe is larger than the part that we can see. And so at least that sort of first step, you know, to the multiverse is pretty solid.
If the universe is bigger than the parts that we can see, how are the other parts created?
Well, one key set of ideas is often called cosmic inflation, and that's something that describes really quite cleanly a number of otherwise very puzzling features of the universe that we do observe, that we do get to look at carefully. And so the overall shape of the universe, the geometry seems to be remarkably close to the simplest possible, the kind of Euclidean geometry that we all learn as young children. It could have been a different geometry, but the measurements are consistent with it being the simplest flat kind. There are other features in the cosmic microwave background radiation, the sort of remnant glow after the Big Bang, that are most easily explained, most readily accounted for in really fine quantitative detail with this model of cosmic inflation. And that model, which is built on otherwise very well-tested ideas from physics, and we extrapolate to extreme conditions, and that leads one to consider a much, much more vast region of space than the patch that, as Andy said, we have so far been able to see directly.
What about the cosmic microwave background radiation? Does that give us evidence for other universes? There have been reports of an asymmetry in the microwave background radiation on different sides of the sky. Some have claimed that this could be evidence of other universes. What do you think of these claims?
Well, so let's take that second part first. Some cosmologists, frankly a minority, have been wondering whether this puzzling asymmetry between northern and southern patches of this radiation, could that be a sign of, could that be interpreted in terms of some larger multiverse effect? It could be. They seem to be consistent theoretical models. They're not universally accepted, but it's certainly something worth thinking about. More broadly, the fact that the CMB, the cosmic microwave background radiation, is almost entirely uniform, but has very minute little wiggles in it at the part about 1 part in 100,000, where the temperature is slightly different from place to place. That's again fully consistent with the origin of our own patch of the universe in a very specific set of physical processes that combine our ideas about quantum mechanics and space-time, Einstein's general relativity, and those same sets of ideas lead us with some confidence, suggests that there should be much more space beyond the patch that we've seen so far.
I was thinking about collisions between inflationary bubble universes being seen in the microwave background. Have we seen these specifically? This would seem like more direct evidence of other universes.
Yeah, no. So accounting for those minute little wiggles in the microwave background could likely be done without any collisions between separate universes. Some people have some ideas, which are fun and frankly a bit fanciful to many of us, about collisions between bubbles that might show up as sort of ring patterns in the sky. That's quite controversial in the community. It's possible, but not by no means is that definitive. But more broadly, it's the physical laws that we use to account for the presence of those bumps, those little tiny wiggles and fluctuations, also lead us to expect that the volume of space is enormously bigger, or could well be enormously bigger, than the patch that we observe. So understanding the physics that makes the CMB, that radiation, understanding the physics that makes the tiny fluctuations in that radiation, also is consistent with, leads us to expect, frankly, that space would be much, much larger than what we otherwise observe.
I've heard that the strange behavior of gravity might be evidence of other universes living in higher dimensions of space. Is this possible?
So there are some speculative ideas. There are many different kinds of universes in this sort of pantheon of candidates for objects which live in the multiverse. And in some ideas, there are extra-spatial dimensions, and our particular universe is confined to only some of those. And if there's another universe that is separated from us in this extra dimension, in some ideas, gravity can propagate between the two. And so it could be that certain gravitational features that we observe that look kind of anomalous in our own universe could be interpreted as the gravitational influence of these other universes. And so that's also a controversial idea. Some people have tried to explain the existence of so-called dark matter, which we have a lot of evidence that dark matter exists. Basically, we see weird gravitational behavior of regions that don't appear to be emitting light, but do have gravitational effects. And it's unknown whether dark matter is due to some new kind of particle that has mass and gravitational influence but doesn't emit light. But some people are interested in explaining dark matter in more speculative ways, like the gravitational influence of other universes. And so the one difficulty when talking about the multiverse is that there are many different levels, there are many different candidate kinds of universes that are discussed, and they progressively get more and more controversial. So what we started talking about and what Dave mentioned, simply the idea that if you have inflation in the early universe, which is a period of exponential expansion of space, it leads us to believe that the part of the universe we can see is only a small part of the larger space that we live inside of. And that is the most uncontroversial level of the multiverse. These other levels, like gravitational influence from other universes in higher dimensions, those are a lot more speculative. Very interesting. And, you know, it's possible those ideas could be tested one day. But for now, those particular things are very much theoretical.
So if there are universes in other dimensions, how can gravity move between these universes?
So this has to do with some speculative ideas for a theory called string theory, which is a candidate to combine our understanding of quantum mechanics with Einstein's theory of general relativity. And we don't really have a completely formulated theory that would combine quantum mechanics and gravity, but string theory is a good candidate. And in string theory, there are some ideas that the normal kinds of particles and forces that we deal with aside from gravity, like electromagnetism and light, and those might be confined to the sort of the skin of the universe that we live in. But gravity is different because gravity actually is not confined to the skin. So if you imagine our universe like a balloon, electromagnetism and light can only travel along the surface of the balloon, but gravity can actually exit it. And so if there are two balloons living in some higher dimension, the gravity of each of those can influence one another. And that another interesting and speculative idea, but we do know that gravity is very different from the other forces in nature. And it's a real mystery to try to explain it in terms of something which is also consistent with our understanding of quantum mechanics. And quantum mechanics helps us understand the properties of light very, very well. So the basic idea is that string theory is still very speculative, but it's a candidate to help us kind of combine those two theories together.
Switching gears, you've proposed an experiment which would use quasars to test Bell's theorem in quantum mechanics. Can you tell us more about this and how it might be used to test the multiverse?
There are several steps to this. Our proposal focuses much more on testing strange aspects of quantum mechanics rather than directly testing aspects of cosmology or the multiverse. But the idea is that one of the strangest aspects of quantum mechanics is two particles that are separated by a lot of distance can act as if they both were talking to each other. And this is a mystery. If you want to try to explain this effect based on simpler laws, classical thinking, that these particles had a shared past and information about what the measurements would give you on these two particles were just carried by the particles. The reason why it's interesting to use quasars in this is because we can find quasars that do not have a shared past. Do not have a shared past since the hot Big Bang, since extrapolating our universe back to where it was incredibly hot and dense. Even though everything at that point was inside of a very small volume, because the universe expanded so quickly, it turns out that things that were far enough away in that incredibly small volume never had time to communicate with each other or to establish any shared information about each other. So if we look at quasars that are far enough away, then those quasars never had a chance to coordinate with each other. They never had a chance to coordinate with anything that was in our location in the universe. And we can use those quasars as a proxy for completely independent and uncorrelated information. And we can use this to test quantum mechanics. And the connection to inflation and the multiverse is that if inflation did happen, then this picture of the quasars being completely disconnected since the Big Bang is no longer strictly true. During the time of inflation, those quasars technically would have been able to talk to each other and communicate with each other, even at the speed of light. And they could have been able to coordinate things, and there could be correlations between what was happening in the quasars. Now, any of those correlations would have happened during the time of inflation, when the universe was a very different place. Instead of being filled with matter and radiation, it was really filled with a form of dark energy like we have today, except much, much, much stronger, such that the universe expanded very quickly. There were no particles, no light. Everything was in this single form of strange form of matter. So any correlations that would have been set up there had to survive until the present day through this dramatic change in the way the universe worked. So if our experiment saw a deviation from the quantum mechanical predictions as we went to farther and farther quasars that could only have talked to each other further and further back into a period of inflation, that could tell us something about the past, something about the universe. Now, the direct connection to the multiverse is a little bit more tenuous, but any information about inflation and causal connectedness is certainly useful to understand the picture of the multiverse. So any experiment that says anything about inflation will help us to say whether the multiverse is plausible or not, given that inflation scenario.
What evidence do we have that inflation keeps going forever and makes an infinite number of bubble universes? And how can you possibly test this?
So the stuff we've been talking about so far has only been talking about one inflationary bubble. And that's kind of the first level of the multiverse. And all the evidence that we have that confirms the predictions of inflation that we can observe locally inside of the part that we can see, that lets us infer indirectly the existence of at least that larger space, that larger inflationary bubble. So what you're hinting at is kind of a second level. It's a little bit more speculative, but people have been thinking about it quite a lot. And the idea is that the process that starts inflation, if it happens, you know, somewhere and then stops, and then we have the normal kind of expansion of the universe where galaxies form and things like this that we later observe, generically, it's very hard to build a model of inflation where that's the only time inflation ever happens anywhere. So generically, if inflation stops somewhere, it's still going on somewhere else in an even larger space, even larger than anything we've been talking about so far. And so it's kind of a process where it's very hard to build models where this process doesn't just keep going. So that this is called eternal inflation. So the idea is that these bubble universes, which, you know, inflation produces one which we live in, this process could keep going, and it could produce an infinity of these different universes. And the These are different in character because inside of our inflationary bubble, we still believe that matter is the same, the laws of physics are the same, the fundamental constants of nature like the speed of light and the mass of the electron, those have the same values. But if you're thinking about eternal inflation and inflationary bubble universes sprouting ad infinitum, each of those could very well have different values of the physical constants of nature, different values of the speed of light, different values of the mass of the electron and particles and whatnot. And so this is definitely a more speculative level of the multiverse, but the way that we can kind of start thinking about how to test those ideas is to ask questions like, if you change the values of the physical constants in our universe, what would happen? And it turns out that it's not very difficult to tweak the values of these fundamental parameters of nature such that you don't have any stars that would form. Or maybe you don't have any chemistry. You don't have a periodic table of stable elements. Or maybe if you change parameters like the dark energy, which governs the acceleration of the universe, you can make the universe expand and accelerate so fast that galaxies never form. So the mere fact that we observe galaxies in the universe and that we observe ourselves in the universe, it lets us know that these parameters have to be in a certain range, a certain kind of habitable zone of fundamental constants of nature. And it becomes then an interesting question. Should we be surprised or not that the universe seems so-called fine-tuned for the existence of life? And if you have this multiverse, this sort of second level of the multiverse, where you have an ensemble of different regions with different possible values, then it's no longer so surprising that at least one, you know, would have the right values. This is a controversial idea. It's discussed as the anthropic principle, and there's significant debate about it in the cosmology community, in the scientific community, in the philosophy of science community. And but it's a very interesting, you know, area of active research, and what's now known is you can use this idea to make certain kinds of predictions about things that we have not yet observed in our own universe, like the values of certain kinds of parameters in cosmology that we haven't measured. You can use it to make retrodictions where you say, okay, well, if we had done this analysis, then we would have been able to predict something in the past that just happened to be historically observed first. But there's still a number of outstanding problems towards actually using this to definitively test for the existence of these other, you know, inflationary bubbles based on what we can observe locally. And the thing that you mentioned earlier about the idea of maybe two inflationary bubbles could collide with one another and leave imprints in the cosmic microwave background, the remnants of the Big Bang. Those kinds of direct interaction, those would be between different inflationary bubble universes. That would be kind of a more direct observational signal that people are talking about. So people are thinking about it both from the sort of theoretical front and from the observational front. But I would say that level of the multiverse is still very, very speculative. But at the same time, it is a logical consequence of the best understood physics that we have.
I've heard that our universe may be inside of a giant black hole. Does this mean that black holes in our universe could themselves contain other universes?
So you may be talking about Lee Smolin, who has an interesting idea called cosmological natural selection. It's the idea of thinking about Darwinian processes and Darwinian evolution on a cosmological scale. So his particular idea is that, let's say, for example, that, you know, we don't know what's inside of black holes, but let's say that inside of black holes, there, if you jumped in, you would actually find yourself in another region that looks very much like our own, but with slightly different mutated values of the fundamental constants of nature. His idea is that if it turned out that the way that these universes were measured in terms of success was by how many black holes they produce, and therefore how many progeny they have, then perhaps when you look at this kind of a multiverse, this is a different kind than we've talked about so far, then the universe could be fine-tuned for the parameters which maximize the number of black holes which are produced. And his claim is that our own universe seems to have parameters that seem to maximize black hole production. Now, this theory is very controversial. I believe it's probably wrong in many of the details. I think the idea of thinking about Darwinian evolution on cosmological scales is very interesting and promising. But there's a lot of uncertainty about how you would actually form universes inside of black holes. We don't know very much about black hole interiors. We need a theory of quantum gravity, which we don't have, in order to be able to understand black hole interiors. And we don't know if you would actually, you know, find yourself in another region of space-time that looks like another universe. We don't know if you would be destroyed by being gravitationally stretched into spaghetti. We don't know if you would be burned up as you encounter some really high energy radiation in a so-called firewall as you fall into the black hole. We don't know enough to talk about the formation of universes inside of a black hole. Now I will say that there are some suggestive ideas. A black hole has this boundary called the event horizon, and basically, if you're on the outside and if you pass that boundary, you're stuck. You're going to fall into the black hole. You can't escape. Nothing can escape from a black hole, especially if it's a large object like us. Individual tiny particles might be able to quantum mechanically escape, but you certainly couldn't. So there's a horizon there. It's a point of no return. It's a boundary. And in our own universe, as seen from the inside, there is a horizon of a slightly different character, but it has some similarities, the so-called cosmic event horizon. And because our universe is accelerating its expansion, the universe is actually expanding faster than the speed of light, which is actually allowed in general relativity. So in a sense, the universe is outracing light. So there's a sense in which, because of this, there are points that are so far away that we could never reach them, even if we traveled at the speed of light forever. And many people want to make they want to equate the black hole's event horizon as seen from the outside with the cosmic event horizon of our own universe as seen from the inside. Now, there's some subtleties, and it's not quite clear exactly how to map the two ideas onto each other, but this is one of the reasons why people have thought about, well, perhaps it actually makes sense to talk about us living inside of a black hole. Perhaps there is a dual description that maps how things look from the inside and how things look from the outside. Perhaps an accelerating, expanding universe from some outside observer's perspective would look like a black hole. And this I think is a very interesting open question. It would be really interesting if it turned out that all the black holes, you know, in the universe harbor other universes, in the sense that if you fell in, you wouldn't be destroyed, but you'd find yourself somewhere else. We have strong evidence that black holes exist. We have strong evidence that very large, supermassive black holes that are billions of times the mass of the sun exist in the centers of essentially every large galaxy that we see. We have lots of evidence for black holes that are smaller, that are the size of stars, the size of our sun, roughly speaking. We also have new and growing evidence for intermediate mass black holes that are, you know, thousands or hundreds of times the mass of our sun. So it certainly seems like we have strong evidence for black holes, but we don't know really what goes on inside them, and we don't know whether or not black holes could actually lead you to somewhere else. Perhaps black holes are so-called wormholes, connections between distant points in space-time, which are theoretical objects, you know, in general relativity. But we don't have any evidence for those existing either. These are all theoretical constructs at this point. So we could live inside of a black hole. It wouldn't be surprising to, I think, a lot of theoretical physicists, but it's still very speculative, and we can't say for sure that we do.
If we can never go beyond the cosmic event horizon, how can we ever test for the existence of regions of the multiverse that live outside of it?
Well, according to our current understanding, this is based on general relativity alone. The cosmic event horizon is a boundary that if we sent off a rocket ship traveling at the speed of light, it could never reach this place, even if it traveled at the speed of light forever. And similarly, an object that lives right now on the cosmic event horizon is just emitting the last light that will ever reach us in the infinite future. So that's the sense in which it's a boundary. But it could turn out then in a quantum theory of gravity that this boundary is not as firm as one might think. It could be that there are, for example, if we learn that there is a more complicated structure to space and time, wormholes exist, for example, then it could be that there are ways to travel from a place locally that looks like you know it would connect to some place that's inaccessible, maybe even infinitely far away. It could be that there are shortcuts, there are ways around it. This is certainly very speculative, but there are some suggestions in a quantum theory of gravity that the way that we think about distance and time need to fundamentally be reevaluated, and it could be that they're not primitive concepts. Maybe they're derived from some more fundamental ideas, and specifically the idea of entanglement in quantum mechanics, the kind of mutual information and connection between different regions, is one promising idea for something that might be more fundamental in space and time. So two regions, for example, that are very highly entangled might actually, in a certain sense, be very close together from the perspective of this new theory of quantum gravity. And if that's the case, then it could very well be that things that seem to be inaccessible, like distant regions of the multiverse, might actually be accessible with experiments that we can do locally. This is all very speculative, but you know, it seems like an interesting line of research to pursue, and I think everybody would be happy if it turned out that the multiverse was true and was real, and all you know, some of the different levels of it actually exist. It would be very nice if they were actually susceptible to scientific scrutiny, and it would be a little bit of a you know the universe playing tricks on us if it turned out that we can think of these ideas and we can test things, but that we reach a kind of fundamental limit that would be very, very frustrating. So we certainly hold out hope that these are the kinds of things that will ultimately be testable. We many of us view them as open problems and sort of challenges and call to action, rather than sort of just giving up and saying it's the end of science as we know it, which is what opponents of the ideas of the multiverse tend to often say.